Coming to the end of John 17, the final few verses, verses 24 to 26. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. We're coming to the end of this prayer that we've been studying. We've been looking at this theme of prayer. The series will continue for a few more weeks up until summer on prayer, but this is us coming to the conclusion of this prayer that Christ prayed in the hearing of his disciples that we have the privilege of reflecting on together, knowing in a fuller way the events that were going to unfold in the life of our Lord. It truly is amazing, the things that were on his heart. And what stirs us, I'm sure, is the fact that although he did pray for himself, his prayer was that he would be able to glorify the Father. That was his chief prayer. He prays an awful lot for his church. He prays for us. All these years ago, those prayers that he prayed was his heart for his church, for his people, his heart for us, and a guide for us in how we should pray for the church of Jesus Christ as well. What did he pray? We've looked at protect the church's unity and faith. Teaches us how precious is our faith, how precious is the unity that we have together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We should pray for that. He prays that we would be holy, that we would be sanctified, we would be set apart for God's special purposes in our lives. And we've discovered that this whole mission of sharing God's gift of eternal life through faith in Christ is part of that mission that God has for his people. And then lastly, he prayed that for the oneness that we looked last week, the oneness that the church, God's people, share in the Father and the Son in the bond of the Spirit. He prayed that our eyes would be opened in a greater way to the oneness that we share in the Lord. And today we're going to reflect on Christ's final prayer requests that he prays concerning his people. Verse 24, that his people would be with him where he is and that they would see his glory. That was one of his prayers for us and for his people. For the last 3 years, Christ and his disciples had almost been inseparable. There were very few occasions that they were not together. There were times Christ went off early in the morning and he had that time of solitude, a quiet time with his Father. And the disciples would notice he wasn't there and they would go out and search and they would find him and he would come back. There were those occasions that he sent them out in pairs to preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal the sick and to cast out demons. But other than that, they had been by his side, learning from the master, being trained up for their future ministry. And they were more than his apprentices. They were family. They were his family. And they had a deep love and devotion for Christ. And Christ had that deep love and devotion for them, despite their many imperfections. The same is true for us. Our Lord has a deep love and devotion for us. If you're a child of God, if you've opened your heart to his Son, Jesus Christ, the whole Godhead comes in. What a welcome. Introduced to his worldwide family, but the greatest of all is into that relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On a number of occasions, Christ had spoken to them about his returning to heaven. And they had pushed that thought out of their minds as they did. His talk of having to suffer and die. Christ's return to heaven at his ascension would be a deep loss for his disciples. And Christ would feel that separation as well. However, he had promised in his upper room teaching earlier on in that evening, John 14, that if he returned to heaven, he would come back to take them to be where he is. And Christ reinforces that promise in his prayer to the Father in their hearing. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. Hearing Christ pray the way that he prayed and prayed for them must have thrilled their hearts. And he prayed that prayer for us today. If you're a disciple, a follower of Jesus, he prayed that for you as well. The longing in Christ's heart is for all his people to be forever united with him in heaven. Let the wonder of these words sink deeply into your heart. Christ wants you to be with him forever. Isn't that incredible? Knowing that, there should be a longing reciprocated in our hearts as well to be with him. That was how the early church greeted one another. They would say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Perhaps today the Lord will return and we'll meet with him. They had that hope, that longing to be reunited with their Lord. I wonder, do we still have that longing? It should. The closer we get to heaven, something should become more precious to us, that the Lord is coming back. We're going to be with him. We're going to see him, our Savior and Lord. For the first time, these physical eyes of ours will see him. And how wonderful that will be. Christ not only wanted his people to be with him where he is, he wanted them to see his glory. The glory that he possessed as the Son of God. A glory that he shared with the Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity. And that glory had been veiled when the Son had entered into this world as a human being. However, glimpses of it had been seen in many ways. Christ's miracles, described by John as signs of his glory. His teaching, those who heard him teach, even those who came to arrest him, the soldiers sent to arrest him, they said, no one speaks like him. And that was the reason for not arresting him. Nobody speaks like him. What glory in his words. What glory in his sinless life. Think of Peter one day, he said, "Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man." His eyes were opened to the glory of the character of Jesus. Or in this transfiguration, when his face shone like the noonday sun, brighter than the noonday sun, his disciples had seen these glimpses of his glory. They had been amazed. They had been awestruck. And they would see more glimpses. They would see on the cross. Think of the words that he uttered from the cross. Amidst all the mocking, and yet to hear the Savior saying, "Father, forgive them." What glory in his words from the cross, or "it is finished," not his suffering being over, but "I've accomplished what I came to do. I've offered myself for the sins of the world." Or in his triumphant resurrection, the song we sing at Easter, "Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son." Or in his resurrection appearances, they became aware that this Jesus, it was the same Jesus, but he's different. He's a glorified body. He's able to do things that he didn't do before. They saw his glory. And in his ascension, heaven received him. The disciples were privileged to see glimpses of his glory. And so are we. We have the word of Scripture recording all these events, the life of Jesus, everything that we've been sharing just now. We have that. And the Holy Spirit can open our eyes in a fresh way to believe that this truly was the case. He truly was the Son of God. And to see the glory that the world doesn't see, we should see that. We should wonder in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, one day we, along with all God's people, will see greater glimpses of God's glory still, when we see Christ face to face. What a sight that will be. The Apostle John, seeing just a vision of it, not the real thing, he fell to the ground in worship. Isaiah, seeing a similar vision, cried out, "Woe is me," when he saw the holiness of God filling the temple. Praise God that when we are glorified in heaven, when our bodies are changed, part of that change is to enable us to see God face to face in a greater way. We will, with our bodies, see greater glimpses of God's glory. According to Revelation, in heaven, there will be no need of the sun or the new moon to shine on it to give light, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is the light. Isn't that incredible to think of that? We won't need the sun. God's glory will shine. That's why in Genesis we have light before the sun and the moon were created. Why? God was light. God's glory can light up this universe. Samuel Rutherford, hymn writer, wrote these words, "The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Wonder of wonders. Christ longs to be fully revealed to us." We're going to have center stage seats. We're not going to miss anything. We'll see the full glory of it. And we should have that longing in our hearts to see his glory. Pray that God would give us a greater hunger and a thirst to see God as he is and to worship him. Verse 25 to 26, as Christ surveys his past and future ministry towards those that the Father had given them, he reveals further desires that the Father would increasingly be made known to them. Says Christ, I have made you known to them. And Christ did that. He did that through his words and his works and his actions. A large part of Christ's mission was to spotlight the Father, to reveal the Father to his people in a far greater way. And he said these words, he who has seen me has seen the Father. The works that I do are what the Father shows me, what the Father is doing. I only do what pleases the Father. Christ only spoke what the Father had told him to say and how to say it as well. And Christ's desire for all God's children is that we would know the Father. Christ in his life revealed the Father to us. Do you remember that occasion when Christ said to Philip, look, have I been all this time with you? I've revealed the Father to you and you just haven't caught it. And you don't know me. You don't know that I'm revealing the Father. You just have not been aware of that. Christ revealed the Father to us in his life. He revealed what the Father is like to us. And in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer that we looked when we began this series on prayer, he reveals to the Father to us, the Father is present. The Father is pure. The Father is powerful. The Father provides. The Father pardons. The Father protects. He wants us to know the Father. I wonder if you know that the Father is all these things. He wants you to know his presence, to know his purity, to know his provision, pardon, protection in our lives. Christ reveals that he will continue to make the Father known to his people following his departure to glory through the promised Holy Spirit. For what purpose? For what purpose would he make the Father known to them through the Holy Spirit? So that we, God's children, may experience the love of the Father. Isn't that incredible? The Father wants us, you and me, to experience the same love that he has for the Son. That just beyond our comprehension. We can understand that Father would love the Son, but that he would want us to know and experience that same love. Isn't that incredible? 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, says John. Romans 5, God pours his love into our hearts in the Holy Spirit he has given to us. Do we realize how much the Father loves us? Do we know how precious we are to the Father? Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through his word, is revealing the love of the Father to us. And not only to us, as we discovered last week, to a watching world, to show that they look on us as a fellowship of believers, that they see something of God's love in us, God's love operating in us. And they look at that diversity of God's people and they say, see how they love each other. And as they see that, they give glory to our Father in heaven. That's why it's important that we go out and the food hub, we mix with people who come along to the food hub. And it was wonderful. Yesterday, there weren't the same numbers, but there was a wonderful spirit. There was a oneness together. Terry had lost his balance and he fell over. And you should have seen the people that gathered round. There were Rose and there was Julie, the nurses gathered round. But there was a lady from the food hub, a paramedic, was right in there. There was Mark, a gardener, was right in there. I saw him sitting there with his arm round Terry in the lounge. And I was thinking, there's a nice bit of family going on here. And this is the way it should be. It's a witness. They come, they feel welcome, they feel accepted for the way that they are, and they appreciate it. And we just trust that God will work in their hearts and that God will reveal his love to this world, the love of the Father, not just for his people, but his love for the world as well. Christ's final prayer request. Not only does he pray that the love of the Father would be in his disciples, his followers, he prays that he himself may be in them. Earlier, Christ had prayed that his people would be with him and see his glory. But Christ can't wait. He can't wait, and he cares so much for his people. He can't wait until glory to be with them. He wants to indwell our hearts now. While we wait, our glorious face-to-face reunion with him. Isn't that amazing? He says he's what I want, to be in them. And Christ sending the Holy Spirit into the hearts of his people at Pentecost made the indwelling Christ of Christ in the hearts of his people a real experience. In the person of the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ to us, Christ reveals the Father to us. And the prayer ends with the triune God residing in our hearts, making our hearts his home. Until the day that we dwell with him in his heavenly home. Isn't that incredible? What a remarkable prayer. Revealing the heart of God for his people. Revealing how we should pray to our Heavenly Father. Revealing how we should pray for ourselves. Revealing how we should pray for God's people. That we would be protected, our faith, from the world, from Satan, and his attack on our faith and our unity, that we would be sanctified, we would be holy, set apart for God's special purpose, that we would be united with the Father and the Son in the bond of the Spirit, that we would be with Christ and see his glory, that we would know the full extent of the Father's love for us, and that we would know and we would experience Christ's presence in our hearts. Those were the things that Christ prayed for before he went to the cross, before he was going to leave his disciples and return to heaven. These are the treasures. These are the greatest. These are the most important things in our lives. Our relationship with God, knowing him in a greater way in our lives. Christ prayed for these things. How much more should we pray for these things? Next week, we're going to start. For 4 weeks, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's prayers from prison. He wrote a letter to the church of Ephesus, and he prayed on three occasions for that church from prison, his heart for his people. He writes this letter. We're going to reflect on those prayers over the next 4 weeks. We've got some other speakers coming. We've got a cluster coming for 1 week. We're going to be off for a week. But that's where we're going up until summer. And then we'll come to the end of this prayer series. And I trust that through looking at the Lord's Prayer and looking at these prayers in Ephesus and listening to our experience of prayer and answered prayer, that prayer will become more precious to us, and that the God that we pray to will become more precious as well.